Good morning, Tucson, and welcome to the Jump In Engagement Hour. I'm your host, Ted Maxwell, and I'm glad you joined us for an hour of conversation. Remember, one of the big purposes of this hour is to try to encourage you to get involved. We are a nation bound by shared values of freedom, liberty, and equality, and with that comes some rights and responsibilities, and that includes being informed and being involved. And I'm very honored to have a gentleman with me this morning who is extremely involved and has been so all of his life. So I want to welcome Ben Bueller Garcia to the show.
Well, good morning, Ted. Thanks for having me. It's kind of hard to be on this side of the mic.
Well, it's good. We flipped this position a couple times.
I've got very little experience at this.
And we flipped this position a couple times, and I've been trying to learn from you as I progress down the road as well. Many of you know Ben, or BBG, as a lot of us like to call him, because of what he does on KVOI. But I can promise you, many of you don't know a lot about him. He's got over three decades of experience in public and community relations. 44 years he's lived in Tucson. He moved here to attend the University of Arizona, and he is a 1988 graduate and a Wildcat. He served 9 years after that with the Tucson Metro Chamber of Commerce, and then he began his own consulting firm in specializing in business services in 1997. Ben is a longtime supporter and advocate for those who serve. He started with the Tucson Metro Chamber's Military Affairs Committee, and then he's now the host of the American Warrior Radio, and he helped establish the 911 Tower Challenge in Tucson, and that just scratches the surface of a lot of things Ben does for those who serve in this community. His list of recognitions and volunteerism in this community is absolutely ridiculous, and we'll cover a couple of those things that he's done. And additionally, on all the volunteerism, and I'm talking hundreds of hours every year, and this man gives back to the community, he's also found the opportunity to run for office twice. But the thing that was most impressive when I asked Ben to send me some of his bios and stuff is there's a personal credo that he lives with that I think fits the purpose of this show, and that's trying to get everybody involved. And that is, community service is the rent we must pay to live on this planet. And like I said, he fulfills that commitment by donating hundreds of hours each year. So Ben, I know that was probably more than you wanted me to say about you, but you've hosted for me on this show. And you've led people down the road of what is it that has turned you into the person that gives this much back to his community and wants to be active in his civic duties and responsibilities.
Well, Ted, you got me all choked up. And in fairness, by the way, that my credo, I didn't make that up. I found that somewhere. Somebody else said that, but I believe in it. And, you know, our life, my folks are missionaries. So pretty much growing up, I mean, community service was always just part of our DNA. And, you know, even as a young boy, and I wonder about this nowadays, you know, I mean, there was the Boy Scouts. There's other ways to kind of get engaged in building your service chops. My mother, when we lived in Superior, which is a little mining town outside of Phoenix, she started a program called Operation Happy Face. And we would go out and solicit all kinds of donations of food. And then we'd give food baskets to, you know, some of the poorer families during Christmas. So it was, I mean, I learned it from watching others. And it just, and frankly, it makes you feel good. You know, when you get to a point in life where you have the financial resources or the time resources, there's nothing better than helping someone else out.
Well, it's been insightful because a lot of folks have taken it back to their family and what the example that they were given. Now, why Tucson?
Well, because that's where I got the most money. I mean, that was pretty much my bottom line is, you know, my dad's a pastor, my mom's a teacher. We didn't have there was no college fund. And so pretty much the university I chose was based on where I could get the most grants and loans. And I thought, you know, Ted, we were raised in smaller towns my whole life, and I was a pretty good trumpet player. I was always first chair. If anybody knows anything about music, that'll make sense. So I thought, you know, I'm going to go to U of A on a music scholarship, even though I didn't want to be a music major. And Ted, when I got here and started to audition for that scholarship and hearing some of the other trumpet players, I realized that I was not a musician. I was just a trumpet player. So I did not get a music scholarship, but I did play in the band for 4 or 5 years while I was on the 8-year plan to get my degree. But, you know, I got to meet a lot of people, and it gave me another opportunity to serve. I was invited to pledge Kappa Kappa Psi, which is an honorary service organization. So I did that for several years.
Yeah, so your service continued, obviously, at the U of A. Any option that you thought about leaving Tucson? Because you got right involved in the community right away after graduation.
The plan was to come here, get my degree, and move to San Diego. And I, you know, again, I was one of those work a semester, go to school a semester, work a semester, go to school a semester guys. And in that time it took me to complete my degree, I fell in love with this town. And San Diego was no longer an option. I mean, at that time, no place was an option.
So you graduated, got a degree in public policy, among other things. And then you put that immediately to use by joining the Tucson Metropolitan Chamber of Commerce.
So let me back up a little bit, because I think it speaks to some of the other stuff I've done, particularly later in my career. Like I said, I grew up in a small town. The military recruiters worked those communities pretty hard. The week before the recruiters were at our high school, I'd written a book report on a book called 1,000 Destroyed, which told the story of the 4th Fighter Group in Europe during World War II. So I decided I wanted to be a fighter pilot. My ADS-FAB scores were great, but I wore glasses. So the Air Force recruiter is, you're not going to fly. We want you to be an engineer. Hell no. Sounds boring. Not going to do that. But I still wanted to serve, so I came to the U of A as a criminal justice major because I was inspired by a deacon in our church who was a retired TPD officer. And about 3 years into my degree, I'd done a lot of ride-alongs. I'd volunteered for 2 years on the graveyard shift out of the county jail. And what that taught me was that giving me a badge and a gun would be a terrible idea, because I don't have the threshold to put up with bad guys doing dumb things. So I never went into the military or law enforcement, which is why I consider it my duty to support those who do. Now, I don't know if you ever served, Ted, but okay.
Yeah. Let's see. The first time I think I was ever on the radio was on American Warrior Radio. So I know you know that one. Well, I appreciate you sharing that with us, because that really tells a lot to me of why you got started in this. And I think we're going to go ahead and cut to a break here now. And I'm going to switch the order of some of the things we were going to cover, because I want to come back to what it is you do supporting the men and women who serve in the military, but far more men and women who serve in almost any public sector environment. You do a lot to support them. So I've got Ben Bueller Garcia with me today on I'd be in a lot of trouble with Chris if I stole that one, with Jump in Tucson. You're listening to 1030 The Voice, KVOI, local trusted news and talk. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson, the engagement hour. I'm Ted Maxwell, and with me is Ben Bueller Garcia. In the first segment, we talked a lot about kind of what brought Ben to Tucson, what's made him into the person he is today, that has really all about public service. I talked about his civic and volunteer service being a list being just ridiculous, and it is. He's been on 10 board of directors or managers or a board supporting not only efforts and issues, but also nonprofits. I mean, it just goes on and on. And then on top of that, there's at least that many different organizations that he's given time, talent, treasure to be honest. He's always there. But a lot of it, as he focused on, was he wanted to be in the military. Surprised they didn't try to get you to then be a backseater with the division. But I also know enough about you that you, if you're not the person in front control on the plane, you maybe it's not where you want to be.
That's not necessarily true. I'm perfectly comfortable being a vice president.
No, yeah, vice president would work as well. But also then looking at going into law enforcement, and been truly a lot about what you've done for service in your life and you continue to do, because almost all these organizations, you still support the men and women who serve and either put their lives or their time on the line for the rest of the community.
You know, Ted, coming back, I think to the mission of this program, something else that gave me a somewhat unique perspective is I was raised overseas, as I mentioned. So I didn't actually come to the United States until 1970. And given that we worked with a lot of, we're literally up in the jungles with the indigenous people. You would, drive the Jeep as far as you can go and then ride a burro for an hour to get to the village, right? Pretty basic stuff. But coming to the United States, this truly was the land of milk and honey. And how can you not want to give back and share, the gratitude you have for being able to experience that in the United States? And certainly that's something that's in the headlines a lot now. But, I think that, again, that's the role. You need to be engaged in your community to be a good citizen.
Well, there's no doubt that you have given back. And even in your first job, when you went on with the Tucson Metro Chamber, almost immediately you were put as the lead staff member for their Military Affairs Committee. Can you tell me some of the things that you accomplished during that time, or some of the things you focused on, or even how it built who you are today?
Well, in fairness, I was paid to do that. That was part of my job. But it was a real awakening moment for me, because at that time, a couple of my uncles served during Korea, but none of them were ever deployed. And nobody in my immediate family at that time had served in the military. So I was very naive. And it was engaging as a staff member on that Military Affairs Committee where I really started to learn about the sacrifices that these families make on our behalf. And that was really motivation for me to engage with that community for the rest of my life.
And you continue to do some of what you did out there by engaging with the base. I believe you volunteer to go out almost in a community welcome mode, and you brief the new families that have got assigned to Davis-Monthan Air Force Base.
Yeah, and that's a lot of fun. It's called the Right Start Briefings. Is for all the new arrivals at DM are required to attend that briefing. And then there's also another one called HeartLink that is specifically for the spouses of officers that takes place once a quarter. Right Start, I'm doing twice a month right now. And there's the operational security briefing, the wing commander briefs, they talk about all the other stuff. But then I come in and do kind of a more lighthearted, fun, welcome to your community, 10-minute brief with Q&A. And it's really fun. It's a lot of fun, particularly with a very young airman. This is their first posting. And you want to make them feel warm and welcome. And I always end my briefing by saying, my mission here today is that you'll be very angry with the next base you report to because they didn't treat you as well as we did here in Tucson.
Well, we feel very strongly that Davis-Monthan Air Force Base is a shining star in the Air Force. I mean, it's won the Base of the Year award several
Twice.
Times
yep.
in recently in Air Combat Command. So what's the number one question those new folks to Tucson ask?
Let's say the top three. Where's the best Mexican food? Which I hate that question. It's Tucson. Throw a rock. You'll be okay. Number two, can you give me the name of a mechanic I can trust? And then it was interesting, Ted, a couple briefings ago, there was a woman as a staff sergeant, and we're in the back of the room, stood up, and I could almost feel like her finger jabbing me in the chest. And she said, "What are you guys going to do about all the druggies and the people in the medians?" And, as a community member, how do you answer that? I couldn't. We're trying. Well, you're not doing a good enough job. So sometimes that outside pair of eyes is very, very helpful when you've been in Tucson 44 years and you tend to get a little jaded, maybe a little lazy about what we see around ourselves. And that was the theme of my first campaign. Was we had something called the Pride Pack. And there's basic things. There was a theory that we were taught in criminal justice at the U of A called the Broken Windows Theory. And basically that idea is if you let the little stuff get by, pretty soon it turns into big stuff. And that's something I've always felt. This is a beautiful, beautiful community with tremendous resources. But we've just let it get so darn trashy and ugly. And that's a simple fix. It's cleaning up the graffiti, doing the medians, basic responsibilities, and that's not always government's job. I mean, legs aren't broken. Get a trash bag and go out and pick up some cans or something,
It goes back to that civic duties and civic responsibilities. I always talk about you have to be informed and engaged. Well, also help take care of the place. There's no doubt. You wouldn't do it at your house, and if you would, I feel sorry for you, but you wouldn't do it at your house. Don't do it in public. Take care of it. So that's kind of a teaser for we're going to probably save some of the issues you're really concerned with at the back, but I do want to take this time before the midway break to talk about something that I know is very important to you. It's something you're still engaged in, and even how you got involved was that. And that's American Warrior Radio. So can you talk to us about what that means to you and what the purpose of the show is?
So you often hear the phrase, particularly when you hear like current era veterans talk about World War II veterans, say we're standing on the shoulders of giants. With American Warrior Radio, I'm standing on the shoulder of a giant, and that was Dave Sitton. And some folks, your listeners, probably recognize his name, just a wonderful man, a very joyful man, very engaged in the community. He would, you know, MC's events all across town all year long, always donated, just a wonderful man. He actually founded American Warrior Radio with the idea of bridging the gap of understanding between the civilian community and the military community. Kind of just like that awakening I had when, as a civilian, I served on the Military Affairs Committee. His idea was to put that on a broader stage and communicate it. And unfortunately, Dave died far too young. I think he was 58. It was very sudden.
Yeah, very incredibly. And people don't recognize all the different branches and different people he touched in this community.
Oh, no question. And so I just felt that knowing absolutely nothing about radio, I just felt a passion that those messages needed to continue. And so I jumped in with both feet. And it's been a learning experience. I'm probably not the best business decision of my life at the time, because most folks
you're still working on that.
Well, yeah,
you're
working
on that.
The weekend shows we buy the airtime. We right. Until I was syndicated, you know, I'm actually paying the stations to do the show. But it's truly been a joy. It's very enlightening. Some of the stories people will hear, you know, sad stories, funny stories, challenging stories. But it's really important to get these messages to as many ears as possible.
And my question for you on that is, what's the most heart-wrenching guest and stories you've had on American Radio, American Warrior Radio?
Other than Gold Star Moms, I've had a couple of those on.
Those are absolutely.
Are Gold Star Wives. But probably the most heart-wrenching story, Ted, was because of what happened after the interview. By far the most downloaded podcast ever of all the 10 years of shows I've been doing was a Navy SEAL whose name was Mike Day. And they were going into a bad guy safe house. I want to say it was in Afghanistan. I can't remember. Anyway, so the first two guys through the door get dropped. Dave was shot 27 times, 27 bullets or grenade fragments. Now, some of it went into the body armor, but the way he said, you know, any place you could touch me or my body other than my head, I'd been wounded. Well, he kills all the bad guys, clears the house by himself, and then walks himself to the evacuation helicopter. He didn't go on a stretcher. He wanted to walk himself. That story of resilience and bravery and commitment to the mission is just one of the most inspirational stories I've ever heard. Well, last year, Mike Day took his own life. And that, when you think about that, and for someone to have gone through all that, and then to get to that dark space, probably understandably, that was probably the most heart-wrenching. And that's something else I want people to understand, particularly with the current global war on terrorism veterans. What I'm hearing, particularly after the way we withdrew from Afghanistan, that's creating some real, real mental health challenges for them, because it's almost like Vietnam Take Two. Why were we even there? You know, and how am I going to transition? In fact, I've got a regular guest that comes on the show that's a former Army colonel, and he resigned his commission because of the way we pulled out of Afghanistan. I mean, that was the depth of his commitment to his military service. He says, okay, that's it. I'm done. I can no longer, in fact, this is a quote, I can no longer in good conscience wear the uniform of the U.S. Army. That's sad.
It is. It's very sad. And often our veterans don't get the type of mm-hmm. treatment and mental health support they do. I know Senator Sinema and some others are trying to put some more legislation through the federal level to make sure that's available to them.
Because and Congressman Scamani is doing a lot in that
he is.
Too. And I love the fact that, he's a civilian and never served, so he sees it his responsibility to support those who do. And I mean, there's been some fun and some good stories, some other stuff that have come out. It's not just all...
No, you've got some, but I think that's part of telling a story. Mm-hmm. And we'll be back on the other side of the hour. My guest is Ben Beeler-Cartesia. This is Ted Maxwell with Jump in Tucson, and you're on 1030 The Voice, KVOI. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. I'm Ted Maxwell. With me this morning has Ben Bueller Garcia. I hope you were with us on the front side of the hour, but if you weren't, we closed talking about Ben's show, American Warrior Radio, which is now syndicated on 13 different channels. And he told us an incredible story about service member Mike Day, who took his own life last year. And it was heart-wrenching, as I said. You got me choked up on the air, but it's important. It's an important conversation. But I also want to put out there that Ben's show has several archives of all the shows he's ever put on. They've got several stories that are about the reality of service, but he also has the fun side of service and the ability and the contributions and how people really, you know, my 34 years, I tell everybody I loved every minute of it. I didn't love every minute of it, I can promise you that. But you know what? Looking back at it, I loved every minute of it. So Ben, if you could, before we go into it, different program you run, could you talk about how people can find their way to your website?
Sure. Easiest way is AmericanWarriorRadio.com. And you know, do me a solid, folks out there, take a listen. And you know, share it. If you like what you hear and you get the importance, share it with at least one other person. We're growing. When I started the program, it was just intended to be a weekend labor of love, Ted. And then we started to get inquiries from national PR agencies and publishers about having their guests on the show. And I thought, well, if I'm committed to serving these communities, I really should try and get to as many ears as possible. And that's what eventually led us to national syndication. And we're growing that part of it, too. And, of course, they can also find us on, you know, Apple, iTunes, Pandora, Spotify, pretty much any place you get podcasts. You can find American Warrior Radio there as well. So I encourage people to tune. We've got over 400, approaching 500 episodes now. And on the website, you'll notice they're broken down by category. So if you just want to hear World War II vets, you can find that, or Vietnam era vets, or first responders. And I tell you, one of the kind of more lighthearted, one of the funnest shows I ever did, if people ever saw the Netflix series Narcos, the original.
Oh, yeah.
I had those two guys, the actual DEA agents on the show. And, oh, they were a hoot. They were so funny. you know, talking about a serious subject, but they're good guys.
Well, Ben, not to, you know, try to pump up my guests, but it is a phenomenal program. And like you said, almost 500 episodes now. You make it easy. And a big part of that, when you just told me you break them down by categories, if you want to hear the World War II vets, if you want to hear the Korean stories, if you want to hear first responder stories, the purpose of this is to never forget. These are Absolutely. Stories that as we all age out, these men and women sacrificed for others.
Mm-hmm.
Now that leads me to another.
If I can throw in there something. Absolutely. We also do feature folks. Well, I won't compare them to me because they're much better than me. But I mean, people who support the military. So
absolutely.
You know, the Gary Sinises, the Lee Greenwoods, Bo Derek's been on. You know, a number of actors have been on, and that was one of the other more enlightening interviews I ever did. Matthew Marsden, who was in Black Hawk Down. He's a British-born actor. And he tells a story about how he was talking to one of these Army Rangers who was telling him that he would give his life for Matthew, even though he was a British citizen. He said, I joined for freedom. That led Matthew to actually apply for U.S. citizenship, moved his family here. And I'm talking to this guy
Incredible.
In a very heavy British accent.
Incredible.
And he says, you know, Ben, America is the last bastion of freedom on the planet. And to hear that, that's inspirational. But then to hear within a British accent, it's like, oh, that's kind of different.
Thus, the reason you need to get involved, engaged, and be knowledgeable. So that's we'll continue pushing that. But another program that you helped found in Tucson and maybe larger, I know it's in Phoenix now as well, and that's the 9/11 Tower Challenge. And can you talk about, well, one, the reason it's so important we remember, and two, about the program itself?
So one of the areas I like to engage in my volunteer work is because of my professional background as a nonprofit executive is a, you know, that's as an expert in that field, if I may use that term. I find more joy in the creation than the maintenance. So I like helping new organizations grow. And I didn't found the 9/11 Tower Challenge. Is actually a member of our Tucson Fire Department, a member of our Tucson Police Department. And I was first introduced to them by Dave Sitton. He did a remote broadcast from one of the early challenges they did over at 5151 East Broadway. And then when Dave passed away, they said, hey, Ben, would you like to continue that tradition of doing a live broadcast? Sure. But then as that organization grew, we decided to incorporate as a nonprofit foundation and grow that and make it formal. So that's the point at which where I engage, because I brought that expertise to the table.
So the 9/11 Tower Challenge effectively lets everybody remember 9/11. It's a day, for our generations, it's definitely our Pearl Harbor in a lot of respects. Yes. And it's led to us being in conflicts. You know, 9/11 has led conflicts throughout the world for us for a long time, throughout my time of service, for sure. And can you tell people what you do at that event
Like you said, the mission really is twofold, and it's like any healthy organization, it evolves. You have to adjust your parameters and your focus. So the original intent was to have everybody climb 2,071 steps, which is the equivalent of the 110 floors of the World Trade Center towers, to literally feel what those firefighters went through, and to honor those firefighters and police and other first responders who gave their lives that day at the towers, but then also at the Pentagon. As the program evolved and we started to get more interest, we sort of expanded that. Initially, it was limited strictly to first responders and military, but now it's pretty much open to anybody. But the idea is not only to honor and never forget the sacrifice that those people made, but then also to recognize the sacrifices of the current generation of the military members who, like you mentioned, in many ways are still engaged based on what happened on 9/11. And, if you think about this, Ted, in the last 3 years or so, young people raising their right hand to take the oath weren't born on 9/11. So we need to make sure that everybody remembers why and why this is so important. And then, of course, we're all volunteer nonprofit. 100% of the proceeds of the climb go to help support military and first responder charities.
So it was started by a couple first responders here in Tucson, and now it occurs in Phoenix as well.
Rob Brandt, Tucson Police Department.
Thank
John
you.
Galata, Tucson Fire Department.
Absolutely. And I know Rob's and John, I believe, are both very involved still to this date.
Actually, Rob just retired from TPD, but now he's taken a position with Boulder Crest Retreat, which, if folks don't know that, that's a huge organization supporting our members of the military and first responders. So he's continuing his service.
Absolutely. There's so many good organizations here that you can get involved in if you want to, as part of your civic duty and giving back, is to support those. You've mentioned Boulder Crest, the Empower Coalition is a group of young men in this community that have an annual event that raises a lot of money that they give directly back to those military families and veterans and their support. I mean, they've sponsored an honor flight. And if for those of you that don't know, honor flight will take veterans from a community, fly them to D.C. for a couple days and tour the memorials. And it is an earth-changing event for those veterans, some of whom were not welcome back when they came back to our
Correct.
Country.
Yeah. In fact, we were a Tucson Community Cares Foundation. One of the foundations I belong to is we were their first beneficiary the first year they did that. And I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that is a fun night. If you list all the different things you can do to help raise money for charities on an annual basis in Tucson, definitely the Empower Coalition is one you shouldn't miss.
Yeah, Empower Coalition's annual beefsteak is what Ben's talking about, which just occurred 2 weeks ago, and it once again was an amazing event. So where can people find more information on the Tower Challenge? Because it occurs every September, and my wife and I have hiked the stairs on
Thank
many occasions.
Thank you for that.
Even during the pandemic when we had to do them all remotely, you got it done and continue to support. How can people learn more about that challenge?
9/11TowerChallengeFoundation.org, and we'll be having a golf tournament coming up this spring to raise some money for the organization as well. And I can't do 2,071 steps anymore, but you come down and you do as many as you can. And it's a special moment to be there.
Oh, I bet you could still do them, Ben. I bet you can. You're just running around so much trying to organize everything else going on. So that's Ben Bueller Garcia, the host of American Warrior Radio, but way more than that for our community. Again, 10:30 The Voice. You're listening to Jump In Tucson, and we'll see you in a couple minutes. Welcome back. And that's Bruce Springsteen. I thought Matt was going to hang me out and not play any Bruce this show, but he surprises me all the time. Appreciate it, Matt. And welcome back to Jump In Tucson. I've got Ben Bueller Garcia. What I'm going to call him this time as his introduction is he's just an incredibly engaged citizen. Now, we're going to talk about what it is that Ben sees as areas of concern as we go forward. And he's got the right. 44 years living here. I've talked about all his community civic volunteer and service. He's been recognized. He was 40 under 40 a few years ago. We won't put that number out there. But he's been honored for Making Children's Lives Better Award in 2013. He was the 12th Air Force Honorary Commander. If people don't understand how big the 12th Air Force, he was under General Robin Rand, I believe, who he served, and that's an incredible honor. He's gotten a Community Service Award from Copper Cactus, the Navy Operations Support Center, gave him the Good Neighbor Award. Bottom line is, Ben, you put a lot of time, effort, talent into trying to make this community a better place, and he ran, albeit unsuccessfully, once 175 votes was the difference between Ben being on the city council for the city of Tucson. He's lived here. He hasn't left here. He's trying to make it better. And we talk a lot about getting involved in making things better. What is it right now that you've got going on in order to try to make things better? And what are your biggest worries?
Well, other than coming on this show, no, in fairness, I don't feel comfortable talking about myself.
Let's skip what you're doing. Actually, there's one I want to talk about.
Oh, let me finish that thought, because you were the one that turned me around on that, in that, you know what, if talking about what I've done inspires a listener out there, a young person, or maybe someone who's retired, and say, you know, I got this spare time on my hands, why don't I, 2,500, give or take, nonprofits in Tucson, and they all need our help. So, you know, get on board, get engaged. And so if nothing else comes of this, we inspire a couple of people out there to get out there and get engaged as well. And frankly, let's be very honest. If you're a young person out there, it's a great way to build your resume and make contacts.
Both those things are very valuable. And there are, like you said, 2,500 nonprofits, youth on their own. Mm-hmm. There's so many different, the community food bank, Southern. Mm-hmm. So there's so many different ways you can volunteer, and just giving of your time, just 2 hours on a weekend, once a month.
Right.
Those nonprofits that are trying to help others in our community, giving back, civic responsibility, you know, you've hit them all. And I know there's a couple things that you may be working on right now.
One of my greatest joys was shortly after I left the chamber and started my own consulting business, I found that I had a little bit of spare time as I was building it. And there's a fellow in town, I think Herb Stratford's been on several shows here on KVUI before, and he and I were buddies in college, and he started showing me these pictures of this beautiful building. And I came here like in 79, long after the Fox Theater is closed, so he was telling me about it. And I thought, you know what, well, let's do something about it, because at that time, the Fox was the very first Rio Nuevo project officially, but I mean, it came that close to being a parking lot. And so Herb and I and a fellow by the name of Bob Morrison actually incorporated the foundation and then moved forward with the fundraising and the work to save that gem for the people of Tucson. And I spent probably 8 years of my life working on that project, 4 years as the board president. And what a joy to go down there and experience that. And of course, the mission was always to return it to the people of Tucson. And I'm glad that we, as volunteers, got that done.
And you have. I know you've held some events to support the 9/11 Tower Challenge, have been held down at the Fox. It's an incredible, historic theater still. And there's a movement afoot now to try to improve it even more for our community. And sometimes we've got to remember, a lot of the assets we've got in this are for us. It's for the community's use.
I tell you, Ted, I've ever since I was a kid, I've felt that God has a way of reminding me not to get too big for my britches. So the very first time I stepped onto the stage of the renovated Fox, I thought, okay, I'm back. I'm on the stage. Here we go. And, you know, the lights go down and the God announcement goes up, you know, ladies and gentlemen, blah, blah, blah. I step out there, the lights, you know, spotlights in my eyes. I had a dead mic. It's like, oh, well. That's awesome.
So did you use your loud voice?
The acoustics at the Fox are good enough. You could speak with just a normal voice if you wanted to, and people would hear you. Yeah.
All right. Well, other issues going on in the city of Tucson. I know we've got a couple on the list, but you tell me which one you want to talk about. What is it you'd like to see that we as citizens can get engaged in and help solve?
I mean, the reason I ran for office twice is just because this community has started to break my heart. And having been involved in the chamber and being an economic development specialist and community specialist, there's absolutely no reason why a community like ours should have a 20% poverty rate. There's absolutely no reason a community like ours should have these kinds of events that are taking place and that people are have lost. I mean, it just breaks my heart. There's certain areas of town, because I used to volunteer with a group called Stand Up for Kids that worked with homeless teens and street kids as well. And when I see those fellow citizens, those human beings out there in just the worst moment of their life, it breaks my heart. So I decided that I had a responsibility to do something about that. But just because I didn't win a city council seat doesn't mean that I can't stay engaged. But I tell you what does concern me right now is just the well, I'll give you a perfect example. We've got a real disconnect right now in that we've got a huge housing affordability crisis. Not unusual. It's happening all across the country. But certain segments of our community, including the elected leadership, continue to do things that make building more housing more expensive.
Right.
And it just does not make sense. And I'm very concerned about the situation on our border. And you and I were talking about the border. 9 million people have come into our country.
Yeah, that's more than the citizens of Arizona.
Yeah, exactly. Just do the numbers on that. And assuming they all are, you know, and I don't consider myself an immigrant. I did have to fill out some paperwork. I was a dual citizen for 18 years. But that's just, it's getting to a point where it is just, it's incomprehensible. And what's going to happen, those effects, it's not just a federal level. Those effects right here in our local community and how that's going to impact you and your family and public services and health and law enforcement is huge. And everybody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to do anything about it. So I'm hoping that, I guess kind of a wrap. I encourage people to get engaged out there. Neighborhood association, school board, whatever it is, you can help and you can make a difference. And I encourage folks to do that.
Absolutely. There's a lot of different ways to get involved. To your point on the border situation is, we're not talking about wanting to shut down immigration to the United States. We've both talked quite a bit about how this is the greatest country right now in the world. It is the one with the most opportunity. There's a reason people want to come here, because you, with hard work, with engagement, with knowledge, can make a difference. You know, I spoke a couple weeks ago about an Uber driver who had immigrated here from Gambia when they had a military coup in their country. The most respectful person of the responsibilities and the civic duties were involved. So get involved. If what we're hearing about immigration or street releases starts occurring, the other issue that you talked about was worried about the homeless and the impact that that's having on crime and poverty. It's going to get worse before it gets better. But we have to figure out a way, and we have to encourage our elected officials to figure out a way to solve these problems. And that's what Ben Bueller Garcia does. So you've got about 45 seconds. Any last thoughts?
Oh, thank you for the opportunity, Ted. I really appreciate it. I appreciate your leadership in our community, your continued leadership, not just for the men and women of our military and protecting our nation, but what you're doing now in the community as a whole. And that's just so important, folks. It's called the interwebs. Go out there, Google nonprofits in Tucson. When I brief the people at Davis Month and I say, what do you want to get involved in? Give me your punch list. I'll hook you up with somebody who can get that done. So please get engaged and support your community. Be a good citizen.
Ben, I truly appreciate all you do. This has been Jumpin' Tucson, KBOI The Voice. Thank you, and everybody have a good week.